This is Bart Isley with the Scrimmage Play Podcast. I'm here with Ryan Heeman, and we're checking in with a very vibrant, very busy spring, even though right now we're getting biblical rain. We've got a lot of really good stuff happening this spring, and while some stuff may be shelved with the baseball and softball and the like, there's a lot to like, and a really big week last week. Particularly, we've been talking about this pitching that's in the area right now, and we got some new additions to it, but one of the big matchups, got two guys we've already talked about a little bit, and you got to see it, Western versus Orange County.
Yeah, so Derek Domick going for Western Albemarle and Bradley Hammer going for Orange County, and all the sort of coaches in the area had said, we hope it sort of lines up this way that these two get to play each other. You know, it's a Monday game with three games in the week. You don't know if you're playing Monday, Tuesday, and then Thursday if you're going to make sort of the stars align on that one. But it worked out that way. And, I mean, it was a fantastic baseball game. Just a couple of errors being the deciding factor. Domick strikes out a dozen. Hanner has 10 strikeouts and, you know, only a two-hitter. It was a very defensive ball game. And Western's defense played absolutely outstanding for their pitcher back there. You got a diving play made by a shortstop in the very first at-bat. And then Sam James in center field coming up with a... I think in most parks, Trey Smith had what should have been a home run, deep shot to center, but in this one, maybe not in Porterfield either.
Definitely not in Porterfield.
Yeah, but the spacing in Porterfield is kind of funny, so maybe it gets over the head. But anyways, great play out there. Yeah, just a fantastic baseball game. And you knew coming in because all these people from other teams are watching it behind the plate. You got kids from Miller baseball, kids from Vanna baseball. It brought out all the kids that didn't have games that day to come see this matchup. And both these pitchers delivered. And, I mean, it is such a good product of pitching between those two. Like, they're just fun to watch. They throw gas. They're throwing the 80s. Of course, the radar gun was out there, and they're both throwing it in the 80s, high 80s, and that kind of stuff. But they both have... Domick hits the spot so well. Hanner has, I mean, he's just got such a repertoire. It's really fun to watch him work out there. Could not have asked for a better baseball game. And I hope we get a second one out of it coming up in, you know, a couple weeks. But really glad the weather held out for that one. That was perfect conditions. Couldn't ask for anything more.
I mean, when you get, you know, we're not really big on superlatives, you know, calling a season, but this definitely feels like one of the best pitching years that we've seen. I mean,
The argument's over on that one when you talk to any of the coaches. They're just wowed by the overall depth of pitching. And that's what made this week cool, was because so that's the main event right there, that Monday. And then on Tuesday, you get to see Louisa County and Fluvanna County throw their guys into the mix and say, hey, we got some pitching too.
Yeah.
I mean, Kevin Ward, Fluvanna, he gets a perfect game. You got to see that?
Yeah, I got to see the first few innings of that, and then I headed out, and I got to see Grubbs out at Louisa. And what's crazy about Ward is that they have a lot of really good pitching on that Louisa staff, and he's maybe not a guy that they expected that they expected to get out of that, you know, that he was going to be, he's not a guy that they have to have necessarily. Yeah. And he comes out, and he's a freshman thrown in the mix, and he just wasn't really rattled. Just did a fantastic job against, you know, a hard hitting Monticello squad.
Yeah. Talking to, I've seen two Fluvanna games in the last, week and change, both against Albemarle. Talking to Albemarle coach Jimmy Bibb afterwards, he kept bringing up how scary he thought Fluvanna is, like the potential that that team has, because Nathan Gentry is their number one arm, a senior guy. He's got powerful stuff. And then you have all these young kids for Fluvanna. And the other thing about them is they're big. They have some big kids in that lineup. If they start swinging for the fences and, you know, achieving what they can as a power-hitting team, that's a... Like Jimmy says, a really scary team. The potential is, oh my God, through the roof there.
And they're waiting, I think, Logan Gibson, that I think was a pretty good pitcher for him last year, who had he had some ridiculous game, you know, last year, and just pitched really well all season for him. He still hasn't come back yet. And then, you know, Kevin's brother, I think it's Andrew Aaron, Ward, yeah. Aaron Ward, Andrew Ward. Yeah, I mean, the other Ward kid is coming as well. He will next year, because I think he's having Tommy John. But yeah, there's just pitchers on pitchers on pitchers on this Fluvanna team, and they can hit a little bit. I mean, they put up 9, I think, on Monticello, and they've been they've been pretty good, and they've got a lot of really good, exciting things happening. We kept hearing about the JV team down there, last year, and that stuff doesn't always translate, but here we are, and it's translating.
Yeah, and it just always makes everything better. It's made things wildly unpredictable. A couple of weeks ago, Louisiana beats Orange. Then you got Western beating Orange, and you think Orange is in trouble. And then Louisa comes up and beats Western.
Grubbs, man. Grubbs and Reynolds, both two really good, arms for them. And, again, pitching depth, and they've got it. And Grubbs was just really good. He hangs in there really tough. He throws a lot of different stuff. He never looks like anything's stressing him out. I mean, he just looks very relaxed. I don't know. He looks very comfortable out there. And when you get that kind of comfort level against a Western team, I think that certainly puts, it gives people a little bit of extra juice when they're going over there and playing a Western squad that's been as good as they've been.
Yeah, unbeaten in the district at the time.
Yeah, I mean, like when they showed up and Grubbs wasn't afraid. And I think that's what this district's going to be like. It's just going to be everybody beating everybody all year. I think we're already there.
No, we're definitely already there. And Albemarle was kind of the one you wondered for. They had a rough week 2 weeks ago, and then they come out, and I think they've won four straight now, so they're right back in the thick of it. It's just really cool to see something that's so balanced and so any given Tuesday or Thursday, these teams can win.
And it's not just in the Jefferson District. As Mike Maynard made very clear to me when I came out to the Madison William Rowe game, there's some great pitching happening right up there, too. Tremendous performance by R.J. Payne for William and Rowe, and a nearly equally good performance from Eli Estes of Madison County. Those two guys went at it in a true duel. The game was over in like what felt like 25 minutes. Just a tremendous outing for those two guys, and Payne did it. Through seven innings, and he had only thrown seven innings all year up until that point. So to see him come out and battle and fight and scrap, and William Rose just didn't know what they were going to get out of him. We've seen situations in the past where a guy's getting up there in the innings at William Rowe, and they're not even warming anybody up because they know what's going down.
Yeah.
Back to the Jordan Gentry days, you knew that kid was staying in. He was not moving. And so,
but same with Cody Spencer before that.
Great point.
Just this last year. But losing Spencer, you have to have RJ at his best. I mean, you just have to have it. It's such a young team. But you saw it. A lot of young kids chipping in up there.
RJ, a really good breaking ball, too. I mean, like, he just really did a nice job of kind of keeping them all balanced. And Estes was just tremendous. But, yeah, like you said, William and Rowe has all these young pitchers who are kind of stepping up. And, Mike Maynard said it, really succinctly, that William and Rowe baseball expects to win. These young kids come up, and they know what it takes. They've seen what it takes, and they expect to come up and make runs. And they expect to come up and put things together at the right time. A win over Madison County in a really tough rivalry game like that, if RJ Payne is going to be that guy the rest of the year, they're going to be a really tough out for anybody.
Yeah, and Monroe, if you look at it, since Maynard took over, that team, when they win a state title, that's his second year with the team. First year is there, they're playing in a 3A schedule, and they come one win away from making it to the state tournament. That's been about pretty much what they've done every year, been either in the state tournament or one win away from making it. And that sort of success at the 3A level, what we saw last year with them making a run again, it's just really impressive that they've come and built such a consistent product and done it not just at the 2A level, but now at the 3A level again. You can't ask for anything more than that. It's just wild that they have that much talent in one county on a year-to-year basis.
And the pitching is just—it's bonkers across the board. Because then you move out from William Rowe Madison, you got Tanner Bradshaw's down there at Goochland, and he's throwing really well. And then you move into the private schools, and Markopoulos over at Stab has been throwing some really nice ball games lately. When you get that, and then you got Jacob Grable, man, out of Fork Union.
Yeah,
Grable is tremendous, and he works super fast.
Yeah, like, he's very Roy Halladay-esque in just how quickly he works. I mean, a Fork Union game with him pitching is going to be fast. And it's a treat if you're a fan. You don't have to worry about sitting around waiting a lot.
Yeah, I mean, so when you get Gray, and Grable's been really, really good, at times hasn't really gotten the run support, you know, as they kind of rebuild things a little bit in the lineup, but he gives them a chance to win every single night. And then that brings us to this week. We've got another huge baseball matchup with Covenant and Miller coming up.
Yeah, I think that's the marquee one. These two, they've developed this really strong rivalry. Pretty much, I mean, both coaches sort of came into the area at the same time, Jeff Burton for Covenant and Billy Wagner for Miller. They both have this tremendous respect for each other's programs. It's actually quite cool to hear them talk about the other program. And that's one thing that's always rewarding to see, is that you get two teams competing against each other, but off the field, like, everyone just gets along, and they want the overall product of baseball to be better. These are two coaches who particularly care about the health of arms and making sure that these kids are best prepared to play collegiate baseball. Playing the high school baseball stuff is fun. It's supposed to be, you know, fairly light and nice to be a part of, as opposed to just an unbelievable grind.
Sure.
So in this matchup, I mean, it's kind of interesting. We figure Miller's going to go with its ace, Ethan Murray. He's a junior, headed to Duke. Just absolutely outstanding stuff. I mean, he is what they needed from him. Losing Connor Galipsy last year, they needed Murray to become the number one guy. Not a problem. And then for Covenant, I mean, we've seen it from them for a couple of years. What do you do with Covenant? Who do you give the ball to in that game? Because they have 10 different guys who can pitch.
Yeah, Covenant's been super fun to watch. Quick plug, we do have new issues out talking about Covenant baseball. We kind of went in depth on there's six guys who are going to play college baseball, which is just crazy.
Yeah, for a small school like Covenant, that is a huge deal.
That's a big number. That's a really big number. And six guys that are going, some of them are going to some really, really impressive programs, some good D3 programs. I mean, they're going to play really good baseball in college. And a lot of them are pitchers, and it's hard to tell, you know, where they'll go with this one. And, you know, we're not going to sit here and armchair quarterback Jeff Burton, but he's got options, and that's a great, you know, that's a great thing to have. He's got Luke Burton. He's got Haney. He's got, you know, I think Declan Kent's been having a pretty good year.
Trent,
you know,
Miller, all these guys.
Trent Miller's having a good year. So he's got all these options. You know, maybe you see a combination of the guys, but Miller's kind of been a stumbling block for him, you know.
Yeah, it's been the one team Covenant just can't get past.
They got knocked off by him, I think, twice in a row now.
Two in the last 3 years in the playoffs, I think. And, yeah, it's just been Covenant was young at the time when they dealt with that. I mean, Miller was a much more mature baseball team with the talent that they had at that time that has since graduated. So this is probably, if the rivalry is going to really reach its heights, this is the year,
yeah.
I think, with all these kids around. And Miller's this is a different makeup in terms of the order, where you've got Tanner Morris and Adam Hackenberg. 2 years ago, those guys, they weren't in this lineup.
Right.
So Miller's really improved there, too. So Covenant, you're going to have, maybe it takes a committee to get through these guys. Maybe you throw somebody two innings and then throw somebody two innings and
just keep them all balanced.
Yeah, keep shaking them up. I don't know. I don't know that there's a right way to approach it.
Yeah.
All I know is that both these teams really want to see what they look like, because they'll play again in the VIC. There's always a championship game. I would be very surprised if these two aren't in it. These have been the two of the highest ranked teams in the state out of the same conference. And there's a really strong possibility. The VIS loves to do this, where they pair the two local schools.
Man, if they do that, that's crazy.
They do it. We see it in basketball every year.
I think they're both in the top four, though. There's no way. If they do that, that's crazy. We're not putting anybody on blast or anything, but
it just always seems to happen.
That matchup just you can't do it. These guys deserve to play, you know, for bigger stakes, because they've been two of the best programs.
If they were smart, they would find a way so that, okay, you want to see these guys in the second round. It takes three wins to win a state title in private school. And if those two were to play in the second round instead of the first round, I think that would be much more fitting.
I think that's what
the stakes. The stakes would be proper. Because,
but you are correct. They often do that.
How many times?
Try and wedge Blue Ridge and Miller baseball together, basketball together.
Stab and Miller basketball.
Yeah.
Blue Ridge and Miller basketball 1,000 times.
We don't want to see it. We want to see that matchup in the state semis, wherever they're hosting that. That's where we want to see that matchup.
And if it means,
or the state finals, either one.
And if it means Greenbrier Christian has to be on the other side, because that's the other matchup you want to see in that tournament. Those are the big three dogs.
And give it up for Covenant. They got a big win against Greenbrier earlier this year.
So Greenbrier, Covenant, and Miller coming into the year, that's what you would have guessed, and it's playing out that way again. So we'll get to see this. This is cool that we get it this week. Hopefully the conditions are right. And we get to see, like what we saw with Western and Orange, you know, just a really well-played baseball game. High drama in that one.
And that brings us to, that's not, you know, Miller Covenant, that's a big baseball matchup this week, but not the biggest matchup of the week. We have a highly anticipated doubleheader coming on Saturday in boys and girls soccer with Western and Almar locking up in the afternoon. I think this is super fun that they've done it this way, having the doubleheader action. This is a big game for both of those teams. It's been that, I think that's been a productive way of doing it. It puts a little bit of a spotlight on local soccer in a way that doesn't always happen. And it's going to be fun to see, you know, how these squads match up. It's interesting on the boys' side. Usually this is a 1-2 matchup in the Jefferson District, but
yeah, Charlottesville decided
Charlottesville boys
up.
Soccer has really come out and really played some good soccer, and they've beaten both of these teams already, because this is a year that it does seem to be the year for Charlottesville in a big way. And I think that how they kind of handle things and the way that they're doing, you know, taking care of business right now, really indicative of a team that's got the potential to make a big run. It's hard to predict with the playoffs because you never know how matchups are going to kind of shake, but Charlottesville does seem primed, and they're being tested against teams like Western and Almar that are pretty good, and they're meeting the test. I mean, the win over Western with Evan Blow coming up with the big goal was great. So,
and they started out the year with a win over Albemarle. So yeah. I think they're the team that's most interested about this Western
versus
Albemarle.
I think we'll see what it's going to be interesting. So on the boys' side, that's really kind of the key. I mean, you get, so, you know, the Wilton Brown led, you know, it's a Western team that doesn't have necessarily the speed that it's had in the past up top. And so that's why they had to kind of play Charlottesville in sort of an interesting way. They had to play more for a counterattack. And I think that you know, that sort of changes sort of the recipe a little bit. And so it'd be interesting to see how they're able to handle somebody like Almar, who has, you know, it always seems to find speed up top, always seems to figure this thing out, and has been trying to get healthy all year. Guys like Daniel Starr, guys, you know, that I think is Andrew Mann, those guys haven't gotten a chance, you know, and maybe been playing more lately, but early on were kind of banged up. So maybe these are two very different teams that are running into each other.
Yeah, right, I think, and this was a really big turning point for Albemarle last year, was this game. They wound up losing and then going undefeated en route to their state title. And I feel like the way the schedule's played out, this is, again, an opportunity for this to be sort of a turning point for either team. Win or lose, I just feel like you're going to find something out about yourself. The coaching for both these teams is so good that I feel like you're going to get a great matchup. It's going to be a sort of chess match. In terms of what happens when that first goal gets scored? How does the other team respond? Do you get more aggressive? I mean, what do? You get a lead, do you squat on it? I mean, we're going to see a lot of different things factor in, unless we get a 0-0 tie.
Sure.
But then, which isn't out of the realm of possibility either.
Absolutely not. But and then you flip over to the girls' side, and that is a no-doubter 1-2.
Yeah.
You know, Almar has been putting up some really good numbers. Won a number of games, 8-0 lately. They are really, really talented. Fizzy Gonzalez has sort of been this year's breakout star. And if you're adding a breakout star to a team that already has Brooke Bauman, who's maybe one of the best playmakers in the whole area, already in the mix, and then you got Hannah Iden, and you got Ayanna Tyler Cooper on that back line. She doesn't see that many shots, but, you know, we got to, again, we're going to drop another plug in here. We got a nice feature on her by Ryan in the current issue online. So certainly worth checking out. And, you know, when you look at Almar, they've been playing really well. When you look at Western, you know, they've had some pretty solid wins. I mean, they're playing really well. A lot of these kids have been contributing for a long time. You got everybody from Fabiano to Shannon Moore. Shannon Moore, man, just a tremendous athlete all the way around. Very good basketball player. Defensive standout for Western. And, you know, soccer's really her game, and she's just very tough. And seems like she's been around a while, but I think she's still only a junior. So, you know, it's great to see this sort of group kind of come to, you know, maturity under Jake Desch, and we're going to get to see what they're able to do this year.
Yeah, and for two programs there that saw each other just ever so briefly in a sort of roundabout style tournament. But they're both going to look very different. Albemarle was going through a lot of adjustments at that time, moving Hannah Iden back to defense to try and make up for the loss of Ann Ridenhour. And Albemarle's won 10 straight since. So it's going to be really funny to see how different these teams are you know, a couple months later. The way it's played out schedule-wise, it seems like it's just really backloaded. Mm-hmm. It just takes a long time to get going in March, and then at the end of April, we just sort of get into this blitz. And then the way, like you were talking about the playoffs early on, that's an absolute blitz itself. You go from like one game a week to all of a sudden you're playing all the time. So I feel like it picks up really quickly here, and this is the sort of central event for the girls' programs in our area. It's going to be a good one. And I love the format. Putting them both together on the same day, I think it gives an opportunity for fans of both squads, really just fans of soccer, to get one day for themselves.
Yeah, I think if you love soccer, if you love local soccer, I think this is where you want to be. So certainly, you know, get out there and see that game on Saturday. And then the funny thing is, I think they play again next Thursday.
Yeah.
So it's going to be wild to see, you know, that's going to be a lot of really good soccer in a short stretch. Like you said, super backloaded schedule. So anyway, certainly check that out. We appreciate you listening. And if you love what Skirmish Way does, please check out Patreon. That's our new, you know, program online that allows you to go in, throw us a couple of bucks, help support what we do. I mean, it's just a big help for us. So certainly jump on there and give it a look. So thanks for listening. We appreciate it. And we'll be back on next week after these big matchups.